a bite-sized chunk of your favourite show, the Tom, Lingy and Loggy podcast.
Hey, Log, did you do like specialist maths, math methods when you're at school?
Yes.
Cool. So you'll understand, like, you know, the parabolic arc of a graph in some of the specialist maths type stuff.
Sin, cos and tan.
Yeah, there we go. I've hit the point where it's the critical point of that parabolic arc. No, Tom.
Tom was too busy getting girls in high school.
Ah, yeah.
You wouldn't understand, Lee.
Yeah, that's fair. So Sunday, it was a beautiful day, wasn't it? Absolutely. The sun was shining. I thought, I'm going to go for a run here. And as part of that, I'm like, hey, kids, do you want to just jump on your bikes and come for a ride? And we'll go for a little run, do a little sort of 6 or 7K loop around the river. They can cruise along the river, have a bit of fun. I'll run. Great. So I'm still living back in the past, back when I could run.
Yeah, I'm looking at you like, what?
And they could ride so slowly that it was a joyful experience where I'd just trot along and they'd ride and occasionally they'd like stop up ahead a little bit like, oh, I'm a bit puffed, Dad. Can you give me a little push? I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a push. And then I keep running. Oh, what a wonderful experience. The sun was shining beautiful. I've hit the point on Sunday where I've realised my running has gone so far backwards and I am so slow and they have now grown up to the point where their bike riding has gone so much faster, even little Jetty, that they were gone. And I was like busting my chops to try and run faster because I was panicking, thinking, what if they take a wrong turn?
Where are they? What, I can't see them.
What if Jed rides straight into the river or something like that?
Yeah.
So it was a panic thing. So, man, I ran faster than what I wanted to run, but it was still so pathetically slow.
Come on.
They were never in my vision.
What, did you have a look at like a photo of you framed on the wall before you walked out and you're like, that's me, that's that guy.
Yeah, but that's
premiership winning captain.
But that's my problem. I'm looking at me like that, and then the same photo is like a little 3-year-old Jed and 5-year-old Henry, and like I can keep up with them. They're on their little trikes or something like that.
Yeah.
Now they're gone. I went the whole run, did not see them. Got home, they were sitting on the couch watching TV. They turned
parenting.
The basketball on. I'm like, what a lovely family experience.
I just love the idea of you leave before you're leaving the house, looking at that photo of yourself on the wall, giving it like a little kiss to your fingers and putting it on the photo like, hello, handsome. I'll be back soon, cheeky.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
Brought something up the other day. I didn't realise it was going to be such a... I mean, you've gone to Queensland, you've had a good holiday. Something came to my attention, a photograph that came to my attention that I thought was just completely unacceptable. I thought it would just have a major impact on the dynamics of this team. I don't know where Loggy's head's gone with all of this, by the way.
I think she has jumped to the assumption that I had a feeling she would jump to.
Okay. I'll send you a photo, Log. So this is what I have a huge concern with about what Tom
was
up to.
Do you want me before I look at this photo?
No, look at the photo.
No, don't guess because you don't need to.
So this is, in my eyes, something that is so completely unacceptable.
Oh, my God. Okay. Yeah, it's definitely not what I thought.
Yeah.
What I thought, but maybe you still did do it, but it's not what I thought. Okay, I was about, I was going to go so hard.
Yeah.
What? I was going to go so hard.
I don't know where your brain went to. What I've sent you is what I consider to be like highly unacceptable behaviour.
Disgraceful is what Lingy said to me behind closed doors.
Disgraceful because it was getting around in multiple locations wearing these. Can you describe it?
Okay, so you got the Aldi slides, which are very cool.
No, they're not.
My concern is, and I love you because you're like, I'm going to try and get fashionable and I'm into it.
Yeah.
But you're wearing it with ankle socks. You need long socks.
Oh, no, they were just the socks that I had taken my shoes off and put the slides on.
Oh, okay, cool. No, very good.
No, they're not cool.
No, they're very cool.
He's wearing them at like... Around where he was staying. He's wearing them around the streets. He's wearing them around the airport,
so
from what I understand.
Yeah.
Like, no, Tom.
I feel so much better.
Where did you thought you think you were?
No,
where
you did you think you were? Where did
you
think
you were? You don't need
did
that.
You?
No,
can
you
I
don't
ask
need
you?
To, no.
Where did
no,
your brain
no.
go?
No.
Oh. No.
Did I?
Play the sound effect. Anything to do with this? I want to know.
Yeah. Is that a
playing
doll, like a baby, you, fake baby
did
doll?
Did you meet Nudge or Raph or Howie? Did you meet any of them?
Who were they?
What? Did you go?
Who's
did
Howie?
You go to
like Mark Howie?
Did you go to SeaWorld?
He told us. He told us he went to Movie World yesterday.
I said I went to Movie World. I never said I went to SeaWorld.
Look me in my face. Look me in my face. I'm asking you.
I never said I went to SeaWorld.
Did you go? And exploit animals?
I didn't exploit any animals.
Oh, really? Whilst
no animals were exploited on my trip to Queensland. Oh. That is what I can tell you.
Did you see the midday show?
I bought the Aldi slides.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Listen live weekdays at 6 a.m. on K-Rock 955 or online at krock.com.au.
K-Rock 955, it's Tom, Lingy, Loggy. Very excited team here, the three of us, because one of the all-time greats joins us on the line now ahead of a tour that he is bringing to Australia in June, hitting Melbourne's Athenaeum Theatre Thursday the 6th of June. It's the great man himself, Rob Schneider. Yay! G'day, mate.
How are you? Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to come down.
Mate, we are stoked to see your show. Your reputation precedes you with your show.
It does?
Yeah.
That's the first I've heard of it.
Yeah. So from what we hear, not for the faint of heart, is it going to be...
Is that true? Who said that? Who is saying these things?
Just some articles I might have read.
Oh, don't. You can't believe things that you read or see or hear. You can't believe any of that stuff. You got to just create just what's happening in society. Create your own reality. It's your lived experience. If you think it's terrible, if you think it's obscene, then it isn't. Because you can't trust your own lived experience either.
Yeah.
You got to know. It's all
AI.
At all times.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not sure what to trust.
Well, look, you got so many great laughs over your career, and we were just reminiscing about our favourite movies. I mean, The Zohan, Big Daddy, The Water Boy, 51st Dates. Juice Bigelow is my personal favourite. And some of the amazing movies you did with Adam Sandler as well, obviously starting out at SNL, and you and Adam Sandler got close. What's that relationship like? Are you still quite close together? Because he did sort of bring you into so many of his movies that allowed you to then become, you know, the runner of your own movies.
I call him my billionaire stalker. I don't know if you have a billionaire stalker, but he's my billionaire stalker. He'll call me at 2 o'clock in the morning and not think twice about it.
Yeah.
Because he's doing a movie right now in England with George Clooney. And he'll just call me and go, hey, what are you doing? And I go, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. I know. I'm up. You're up. Let's talk. You're already awake. And then we talk. And then, so it's been a wonderful, fun experience. And I'm just like, I just don't know what's next. Because he says, I'm thinking about doing Happy Gilmore 2. And then I'll do Grown Ups 3 just for fun. And I go, you know, listen. You don't have to pay me to hang out with you. I'll just hang out with you. You can give me money, and you don't even have to see each other. It's been so fun. And he does want to make Grown Ups 3, and he just wants to keep the party going.
Yeah.
It's really lovely because it's the best chance we can hang out and have fun together, and I'm really grateful that we've been able to, you know, be able to make movies and have fun with each other and with our families for the last 30 years.
Mate,
that's pretty special.
Some of the stuff that you have, sort of the content that you have given to us over the journey has been just the most magnificent stuff. You know, your Juice Bigelow's, your Grown Ups, Animal, Big Daddy, Waterboy. Do you have a favourite movie that you've ever been in, or, you know, one that you just keep going back to?
Well, there is one that I think was the silliest and the goofiest movie I ever made, the worst title of a movie I ever did. But it seems to be the one that I think gets the, I think holds up and still really, really funny because it was so silly. It was The Hot Chick.
I love The Hot Chick. Love The Hot Chick.
Yes.
That one to me held up pretty good.
Yeah.
I will say that that's a one that I go, you know what? That one, if there's one that people can go see and laugh at anytime during the day or night, I go, that's a pretty good laugh.
I'm always intrigued when you're filming, so Hot Chick, any of these movies that we're talking about right now, how much is scripted and you just got to lock on, you've got to follow the script versus just improv, you can be yourself and let loose and everybody's bouncing off each other?
Well, you know what? That's a good question, because usually, though, you have to have a really good script. Because if you're working, like, with Sony or Netflix or something, you can't go say, hey, listen, can you just give us $40 million and we'll figure it out when we get there? You have to have a pretty darn good script in the beginning. And then from there, you can ad-lib because you have something good to start with. And that's what Adam does. If something's going really well, that's why he likes working with all of us, like Kevin James, David Spade, yeah, and Chris Rock. You know, we're all pretty, like, you don't take it personal. If something's not going good, we'll fix it. We'll work on it. And if it is going good, we'll just keep going that direction until we kind of run out of steam. And that's just the way he works. So you have to be able to, like, have those years of experience with him so that you can just, you know, make something, fix something instantly, or make it even better and go for a screening laugh. Like, in 51st Base was really fun because Drew Barrymore was having to drive this car. She was, first of all, it was uphill. It was a piece of crap car. She's short, so her little feet weren't reaching the pedals enough. Yeah. And so they're trying to get a pillow for her back so she could get up. And so we're waiting for her because, you know, because she has a brain injury and he has to meet her in different ways. So I'm pretending to be this guy beating him up on the side of the road, mugging him. It's taking forever to get there. So we have to ad-lib, so we ended up ad-libbing, and that ended up getting last, you know. That wasn't in the script. You come here, make my sister clean your hotel room, eat our pineapple, and I'm kicking into that. And then she shows up, and she hits me with a baseball bat, and then I looked over, because that whole morning I saw it was like, that was the place where they did, where they were doing the, you know, that's where Spielberg shot that place in Hawaii, the running of the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. So the whole day I couldn't wait to run. You know, I wanted to run with the dinosaurs around. So when she started hitting me, I started running. The next thing you know, Drew Barrymore, who really gets comedy, she started chasing me with the baseball bat. And then the camera started moving, and it ended up being like a really hilarious bit.
Yeah.
That was pretty darn cool.
I love that.
So that was cool. So you never know what's going to happen. There's some stuff that doesn't work sometimes, but you try to just, you know, I tend to remember the stuff that does.
Rob, we obviously, from your movies as well, the ones that I sort of rattled off, there are some amazing quotes that sort of have become part of people's vernacular over the years, and a couple of our favourites are this one.
The McTerrific pair. They went together like lamb and tuna fish.
And this one.
You can do it! Cut his f***ing head off!
Do you have one quote that people always ask you to do from one of your movies?
The one that I like the most is the one where I go like, you think you're so cool because you can pee with your penis. It's me, Jessica. I'm in here. Yeah, that one, I think, that one still makes people laugh, even though they've seen it in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good.
Right, well, the laughs will continue flowing with your tour. You're coming to Australia next month, or just over a month's time, Melbourne's Athenaeum Theatre, Thursday the 6th of June. Rob Schneider, mate, we can't wait to see you. Safe travels, and thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thank you for having me. We're going to have a great time there. We're going to have some good laughs. And just go there with an open mind and don't have any preconceptions about what feelings you can hurt. I do give a warning before the show, so everybody's prepared.
Yeah. All right. Tickets are on sale now. BOHMpresents.com. Thanks, Rob. We'll catch up with you when you get here.
All right. Thank you. Take care now.
Tom, Lingy and Loggy. Why don't you get this podcast again sometime and listen on air at KROQ 955 weekday mornings from 6.